In Luke chapter number 6, we're going to read a verse here in verse number 35. And I think all of us can agree today that God has been very good to us. The Bible says in our text in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest." And look what it says in the last part of this verse. "For he," that's the Highest, that's God, that's our great God, amen? Yes. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." I want to preach on that last part of that text this morning, that he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you in our song today, in our giving. Thank you, God, for the privilege of fellowship and prayer. And Father, I pray now that, Lord, you just please enable. Lord, I need your strength today. I need your help today. I pray that, Lord, you just give, Lord, the Spirit's complete charge of me. And Father, I yield myself to you. And I just pray that, God, you'd use the message to strengthen all of our hearts today. Just help us. We all have needs this morning. I pray you'd encourage us, strengthen us, rebuke us, whatever our spiritual need is. I pray you'd meet it through the Word of God. Lord, again, we love you so much, and in Christ's name I pray, amen. I believe we all understand this, that the book of Timothy talks about it, that one of the signs of the last days that we live in today is the fact that people will be unthankful. Now, we just got through the holiday of Thanksgiving. And I do hope that each and every one took a moment to stop and thank the Lord, because God's been good to every one of us. God is abundantly good to every one of us. And no matter what we've gone through, God is good to us. I so enjoy the testimonies on Tuesday night as we gather together. And praise the Lord that we just one person after another thanking God for the ways that God has been good to us in our life. And even through the hard times, God is still good. But one of the facts of living in this age in which we live in, I think there's no doubt about it, we're living in the last days. But one of the signs of that is that people will become unthankful. This lost world that we live in is unthankful. I mean, you go to the store and, I don't know if you've experienced, I'm sure you have if you've done it, you almost get ridiculed for doing things for people. You know, you stop and, you know, as a man, you know, I'll stop and I'll let a lady go in the door before me. And they look at you like you just like spit on them or something. They're like, you know, they're like, just being kind, right? You hold the door. Yesterday, my wife and I were walking through Myers. And, you know, my wife found something, that little decoration she liked. And it's like a 99-cent little thing. And she's had it in her hand. This lady walked in and she goes, "Where did you find that?" She wanted one. And my wife said, "Well, I got it over there. It was stuck in some styrofoam." She said, "But this is the last one." She was like, "Oh." And then my wife said, "Would you like it?" That's really kind, right? Yeah, right. You know, she would have gave it to her. And the lady's like, "I'm not going to do that to you." And she, you know, walked off. And, you know, just a thank you would have been nice, right? But that's the world we live in. No surprise, right? And by the way, we are guilty too. We expect everybody to do so much for us, and we never take the time to say thank you. We need to stop and say thank you. And, you know, it's one of the things, the Elims, the boys, and they'll probably watch this message, but, you know, one of the things, they hung out with us, obviously, these months that they were here, and we kept them busy, and they were a blessing. They hopped in there and worked and whatever needed to be done. You know, one of the things they, you know, repeatedly said was, "I didn't know so much went into this, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, from setting up concessions over at the, you know, the games to, you know, setting up for a fellowship." And I looked at him one day and I said, "These things don't just happen." Right. You know, people do a lot of stuff. You know, as we got ready for our Veterans Day, and, you know, all day Saturday, you know, you had, you know, some of our young ladies were here and they were decorating and setting up. People were going to get food. People were getting gift bags ready. And all these things were going on. You know, things don't just happen. People invest in our lives, and it's good for us to stop and say thank you. Amen? I don't know if conviction has settled in or maybe I just can't see you. All right, but it's truth. All right, the fact is this: we think we deserve much more than we deserve. And when I read our text today in that last part, it says that the highest, our God, He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, I'm saved. Are you saved today? If you're saved, and praise the Lord for going to heaven, God has forgiven our sins. In the eyes of God, we've been justified. We've been made righteous. That is a blessing above all blessings. Amen? A miracle of God that God would look at me and declare me to be righteous. It's crazy. But in God's eyes, I'm not evil. Now, I know who I am. Trust me. I know my flesh. I know my faults. I know my sins. But in the eyes of God, I've been declared righteous. So in the eyes of God, I'm not evil. Now you understand what I'm saying there. That's a miracle to me, and I don't deserve that. But in the eyes of God. While I do not consider myself, and I know myself, to have been made righteous through the blood of Christ, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I don't put myself in that category of evil, even though I know what I am. But I am telling you today that I put myself in that category of being unthankful. And the fact is, all of us are. I mean, I don't think I'm wrong on the statement that there would be someone in the auditorium this morning who would stand up and say, "Preacher, I believe I show God the thankfulness that He's worthy of." Because we don't. And the fact is this: God's people are becoming less and less thankful for all that God's done for us as we get closer in these last days. You see, that unthankfulness is not just a lost world issue. I believe even more, it's the child of God's issue. I said this on Tuesday night as part of the service. While I was growing up, you know, I don't think I ever stopped as a kid and said, "Dad, thank you for paying the electric bill." I never stopped and said, "Dad," you know, I went and washed my hands, got a drink of water, and said, "God, Dad, thank you for paying the water bill." You know, there were times maybe we went out to eat something special, I said thank you, but when we got home from the grocery store, very rarely did I stop and say, "Mom and Dad, I just want to stop and say thank you for these groceries." And I could go on and on and on like that, right? We just took it all for granted. Until all of a sudden you get married, and that first bill comes. Now, I'm responsible for this, right? You know, I let you know a little thing I really got to fix. You know, the house that we live in and have lived in all of our life, you know, since we got married, you know, it was, we put everything in and started putting things in our names before we got married. And still to this day, 25 years later, our electric bill comes to Travis Burke and Stacy Napier. And I really need to fix that because that don't look good, all right? We just talked about it the other day. I was like, I need to go down there because that's not a good testimony, right? You know, I was just like, I need to correct that. But when that first bill came in, I started to realize, Mom and Dad, they paid a lot of money. You know, I got my now family, and I go to the grocery store, and I realize the sacrifices my parents made. I mentioned this on Tuesday. Went home that night, you know, one of my daughters said, "Dad, I just want to say thank you for the groceries." I was like, "Don't even start, right?" You know, right? But the fact is this, we took that all for granted, right? Until we realized as we matured the sacrifices that were made. And what's that do in your heart? It makes you thankful for all they did. And as a child of God, the more we mature in Christ, the more thankful we ought to be for all that God has done for us. Every time you learn how much He sacrificed for us, you see, we as believers are way too unthankful today. So how do you know? Because unfortunately, and you can rest, you're fine here, but there's a whole lot of people out there in this country that say they love the Lord and they're saved, and I'm not doubting that, but for no reason, they're not sick, they're not struggling, they just didn't want to go to church today. That's an unthankful person. Amen. When we consider sin and we consider indulging ourselves in some fleshly activity that we want to do that we know the Word of God says is not right, but we do it anyway, that's an unthankful Christian. You are, this is the Word of God's words, trampling under feet the blood of Christ. When we don't consider, you know, sacrificing for other people after all that God's done for us, that is a mark of an unthankful believer. And can I attach it to something? An immature believer. Because a mature believer should be thankful. But again, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I told you I put myself under this category, unfortunately. And I want you to consider something real quick from this text. If you look at it again in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 35, it says, "For he," that's God, "is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." I want us to consider, number one, how God is kind to the unthankful. And can we put ourselves, unfortunately, in that category? We're not as thankful as we should be. I'm not saying we haven't given thanks. I'm not saying that we haven't praised the Lord. I'm not saying, but I have not praised Him as I should. I haven't given Him the thanks that He's worthy of. And I've taken a lot of things for granted. Turn over to Lamentations chapter number 3. And I want you to look at a few things real quick at Lamentations chapter number 3 that should remind us of what we as believers should be thankful for today. I love this passage of Scripture in Lamentations chapter number 3. Remember our text, He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to the unthankful. There's so many things that we take for granted. The book of Lamentations, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, all right? And you come across it there in chapter number 3 and in verse number 22. In Lamentations chapter 3 and in verse number 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Can I stop and tell you this morning, that we as believers should stop and be thankful for the mercy of God? We ought to all praise Him today. If this were the only point in the entire message, we have reason that every child of God come to this altar, bow the head today and say, "Thank you, God, for the mercy that you show in my life each and every day." Mercy is not getting what we deserve. God's grace is the other side of that same coin. Grace is getting things that we don't deserve. God's mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You and I, we deserve hell. I know it's a blunt statement, but we do. There is none righteous, no, not one. We don't deserve the privilege of being able to say today, "I'm saved and going to heaven because I didn't do anything other than rely on what Jesus Christ has done for me." That is God's mercy and that is God's grace. You see, we get so filled with ourselves as people today. We get so consumed, and I love, you know, it is forbidden in my home to start Christmas decorating and songs until after Thanksgiving. I mean, it's forbidden. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have rebellious children and a wife. I get in the car sometimes. I turn on the car. There's Christmas music on. Whoa. Yeah, hope. Right? You know, and you know, we wait. We don't go down that path, right? And but once that Thanksgiving's out, I'm all in. I love this time of the year. I love family. I love times with family, and I love the fact, you know, and no matter where you go, right, you can't get around it. It draws people's attention to Christ. Take that wonderful opportunity. Not many times can you walk into Kohl's and hear the same song you sing in church. It's pretty cool, right? And you know, and I like to take advantage of that. And I rejoice in this time. I'm thankful for the fact. I know we're not commanded to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's nowhere in the Bible, right? But I'm thankful that I can rejoice in the fact that Christ came. And I do rejoice in that. You know, I don't worship a manger, but I do worship the one who laid in that manger. And I'm thankful that he loved me so much to come for me. And you and I ought to take full advantage and rejoice this year in the mercy of God. Because we didn't deserve that he would come for us. We don't deserve that he'd be so good to us. We don't deserve the fact, listen, you're sitting in a pew today, sitting in a good church, you got God's word in your lap, amen? Amen. You're sitting near people that love you. The fact is this, I look at my life, and I was raised in church. And I didn't appreciate that for many years. There were times, and I've shared this with some people, all right, this is how evil and low I was, all right? I wasn't saved, so you can't like, you say, well, you were wicked. Yeah, I was, right? But I would say, I remember sitting in Miami, Florida, in church in Miami, Florida. I remember sitting in the service, thinking of ways, because I was never allowed to leave to go to the bathroom. My parents said, you go to the bathroom before church starts. Amen. I'm going to throw it out there again, because that's a really good thing to teach your children, all right? Now, I know there may be the rare occasion of an emergency, but usually it's not. I must have hit something strong there. Oh, yeah. My parents, you never. You say, well, what if it was an emergency? You don't understand the level of emergency that would have to be. Because I would get, if I ever looked and said, hey, Mom, can I go to the bathroom? She would, no. Wait. Now, moms have the ability to know when you've reached that level of emergency, all right? And there was very, very rare occasions, maybe twice in my life, that she said, just go, all right? But no. And I knew. So you know what I did? I went to the bathroom before church. Right. Say, why is that so important? Because you'll never understand how the devil can use that. And I know it's a simple thing, but the Spirit of God is speaking and the preacher's pouring out his heart, and all of a sudden someone stands up and they start walking back and they wonder what's going on, and a door slams or they trip over something or some little thing, and it distracts, and the devil will use that all the time. I'm not saying not to go when there's emergencies. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a whole lot of going out. It could be avoided. Anyways, back to me being wicked. I knew I couldn't go out. So I would literally stick a pin in my nose to make it bleed. That's right. Yeah. You know how low I was at that, right? Kind of wicked 7-year-old was I, right? But I knew when Mom saw blood. Go run out there, right? Isn't that terrible? That's a wicked person, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, right? Some of you kids are like, all right, plan B, bathroom's out now, right? Yeah. No, all right. That's how low I had gotten, right? Because I was lost. You know how many times I heard about salvation growing up? You know how many times I sat in a church pew and heard how God loves me? You know how many times I heard about the crucifixion, how Christ died for me and all God went through so I could have salvation? At age zero up all the way, here I am, a teenager sitting in church. You look at me for a second. I didn't deserve to hear it again. I didn't deserve the privilege of coming to church and hearing one more time, even in my heart of rebellion, even in my times when I didn't want to hear it, even in my times when I was upset at my parents for things they made me do, but I was sitting in that pew and God still said, "Hey, I love you. I know you don't want to hear it, but listen. God's mercy, we don't deserve it, but He loves you and He has you sitting here again today because He wants you to hear it again. I know your heart, I know your thinking, but I love you. Amen. And if you'll come to me, I'll change your life." That's God's mercy. I look at my life, Brother Tyler taught it about it in our Sunday school class this morning, of the different times in my life that I things could have went a very bad direction. I don't even know the amount of times that God has kept a hedge of protection about me. I couldn't even tell you the amount of times that I won't know till I get to heaven just how good He's been to me. But I can tell you today, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed today. I should be in hell today. You should be in hell today. We shouldn't be able to be sitting with a family. Yeah, have your hand and your arm are there around your husband or your wife. That's the goodness of God. To be able to hold the perfect word of God in your hand and live in a country that speaks this language, that's the blessing of God. To have the freedom to meet here today, that's the blessing of God. Those clothes that you had to pick to put on today, the house that you live in, all the toys and gadgets that you have, it is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. We deserve nothing. But it's because God is good. And the fact is this, that we are so unthankful sometimes because we take for granted the mercy of God. Look at the verse again in verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because, let me give you something else to stop and praise God for. His compassions fail not. Not only should all of us be thankful today for the mercy of God, but all of us today should stop and be thankful for the compassion of God. Compassion. You know, I can look at someone, and you can too, and have sympathy. Sympathy is seeing some need. You know, as you know, you see someone struggling with something or some area, you can have sympathy. But sympathy doesn't change anything. Compassion is the next level of sympathy. Compassion is seeing a need and then doing something about it. The Bible says that the Lord stood over and He looked over the city, and they were as sheep having no shepherd. They had no hope. They were lost. They were going to hell. And He was moved with compassion. You know what He did? He walked into that city and preached to them. He healed their sick. He raised their dead. He touched the blind. He did all these things because His heart was moved with compassion. You know, when the Lord lived on this earth, I don't know if you stopped and thought about it a whole lot. What was His purpose in coming to die upon the cross? To pay for our sins. He also, praise the Lord, gathered these men and established the church. Praise the Lord for that. He gave us teaching and instruction. Praise the Lord for that. He did not have to heal one person. He didn't have to touch one mute tongue. He didn't have to do that. But the Bible says as He went from town to town that His heart was stirred with compassion because He loved them. that he not only saw a need and felt for them, but he did something about it.
Right.
Understand this today. God has done the same thing for me and you. Does God love you?
Amen.
Amen. Does God care for you? Does God have sympathy for you? Yes. But it goes another level. He has compassion upon you and I.
Right.
The Bible says his compassion's what in our text? Fail not. You know, our compassion fails.
Yeah.
I mean, even in great things. I mean, you know, God forbid, you know, but, you know, if, you know, Brother Wilder and Mrs. Wilder, you know, say that there's an accident on the way home, God forbid, it's not going to happen, right? But, you know, they're in the hospital and they have some bills and it's a true need. And I use them for this reason, because those two have compassion on people. So many in our church family, you have gone through something, and as I have, and there's a knock on the door, and here's Brother Wilder, Miss Wilder, providing a meal, taking to an appointment, being a blessing. And the fact is this, if God forbid something happened like that, our hearts would be stirred with compassion. We would know that if I said, hey, tonight the Wilders have this need, they have this sincere need, and we need to collect for it. And our church has done this. Our hearts are moved with compassion. But I'll go worst case scenario, and they're in a hospital for years. This is just the sad truth. Our compassions would begin to fail. After time, I've already given another meal. We've been doing this for 2 weeks. Our compassions fail. Unfortunately, they do. But you, in God's eyes, his compassions never fail.
Amen. Yes.
That same, oh, how I want to help them, never ends with God.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
His compassions fail not. When God looks at you and God looks at me, he continually says, I want to help you. But look at me. But just like every blind man, just like every mute man, just like everyone who could not, you know, hear, they had to make the choice to let the Lord touch them.
Right. That's right. Yes.
God, his mercies, you ought to be thankful today. His compassions, you ought to be thankful today. You say, well, it's not affecting me. It's because you need to let him. Let him touch your life. He'll change you. We ought to be the unthankful. He is kind to us, isn't he? Isn't he kind to us? Stop and consider his mercies and his compassions. In verse number 23, look down at there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. They are new every morning.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? God's mercy and compassion every morning is new in my life. That is awesome. We ought to be thankful, number three, for this. Look at the verse. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, how we ought to be thankful for the faithfulness of God. Isn't God faithful to us? I mean, stop and consider how faithful God is to us. Have you ever let down your parents? Yep. You ever let down your spouse? Yeah. You ever let down your children? Yeah. You ever let down the church? Yeah. Because we're human. But God is faithful. God has never let us down. Great is thy faithfulness. When I stop and consider God's faithfulness, I think of all that God has promised. You know what all God's promised He's going to do for us? Stop and consider that. I mean, every promise in this book. How many promises are there? A whole lot more. I mean, if you begin to count them, you're going to run out of fingers really quick. He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. Amen. He's promised He has a place prepared for us. Amen. He promised to always listen to us. He promised He'd answer our prayers. He promised He's coming back for us. He's promised His Holy Spirit. He's promised His comfort and His peace. He's promised all these things. And look at me. He will never fail one of them. What a great God. How many times, and I say we're unthankful, and I don't mean it as a mean of rebuke. I mean it as a means of just opening my eyes and your eyes. We thanked Him, no doubt, for our family this week and the food He's provided. But boy, aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Aren't you thankful that He has compassion every day the same way in our life? Aren't you thankful for His faithfulness, that He's never failed us? We as God's people can be thankful in verse number 24 in our text. The Lord is my portion. My portion. So what's that mean? Well, you all, I don't know about everybody, I assume most, you sat at a table this week and ate. Amen. Probably too much. Amen. Unless it was the turkey, Daniel. Amen. But you went and you took your portion. You took what was yours. You took what you wanted. You took what you needed. Your portion, this word in the Bible, the Lord is my portion, it means that all sufficient part. In other words, everything I need and want and desire. Everything, this ought to excite you a little bit, everything that excites my soul. Everything that I need to give me a thrill. Everything I need to give me full satisfaction. The Lord is my portion. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He is everything. You know what all the world has to offer? And look at me. The world is a liar. The Lord, the world promises everything and it comes through with nothing but a little bit of pleasure for a season. It will offer you the world and then pull the rug out from underneath your feet every time. I mean, just look around you, you know, at those who indulge themselves in all that the world has. You say, well, they seem happy. They do for a season. But look at me. For all of eternity, I'd rather rejoice in my portion. I have everything I need in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not, there are those who would oppose this. There are those who would say, oh, that's foolishness. I haven't got that from the Lord because yet you haven't made Him your portion. You haven't made Him your portion. You haven't made the choice that He's all I need. You haven't made the choice that He's going to satisfy me. You haven't made the choice that my life is Him. Because until you make that choice, you'll never have that satisfaction. And there's people that try, excuse the example, there's people that try to nibble on everything that's out there, including Jesus, and seeing what makes them happy. It doesn't work that way. There was a man one time that came to our church and he made a profession of faith, and then he came to me a few months later and he looked at me and he said this. He said, Pastor, he said, I only came to try out the Lord and see if it was different than other things, and it's just not for me. And I said, well, that's the problem. You don't take God on a test drive. And a lot of people are frustrated with life because they took a test drive.
Yes.
I'm going to sit in church for a while and see what it does. You have to make him your portion. You have to say, this is all I need. This is all I want. And not one person in this room has the authority to say, he didn't satisfy me, if you've not made him your portion. It's like you say my turkey wasn't good and you didn't sit at my table. Because it was good, Daniel. I'm getting every amen I can today out of it, all right? You have to make him, that's what the Bible says, oh, taste and see what? The Lord is good, amen? He's good. A lot of people just kind of roll their eyes and fold their arms and look up in the air and say, I just don't get it. It's not for me. No, it is for you.
Yes.
The Lord already said it.
Yes.
For God so loved the world, that's you.
Right.
God wants you to be saved. He loves you.
Yes.
But aren't you thankful today for his mercy? I mean, let's just face it. We probably didn't stop and say, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your compassion. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that you are my portion. That is a sweet thing. Look at the verse still in verse number 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. He is my hope.
Yes.
Oh, how we ought to thank the Lord today that he is our hope. That word hope in the Bible means our confidence. That's why the Bible talks about the second coming of the Lord as being our blessed hope.
Yes.
That means it's something we can be confident in. He is coming back one day.
Yes.
He is my hope. What that means is this, that when I go through trials, and I do and I am, when I go through heartaches, and we all do, we all go through struggles and valleys, and we all do, the fact is this, that I can keep my head up and I can keep on going forward and I can keep on marching towards the right direction because he is my hope.
Amen.
It doesn't mean it's something I am, you know, in today's vernacular, hoping might work out. I can be confident that my God will see me through.
Yes.
We ought to be thankful today for his mercy, compassion, faithfulness, portion. That he's our hope. In verse number 25, the Bible says the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. We can be thankful today because he's good to us. The goodness of the Lord. Again, I've already preached on this. I'm not going to belabor this, but God has been good to us. We have so much. We are so blessed. I've never understood, young person. And I know that when God saved me, I had to grow up.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, young people, grow up. And get this, that there's nothing out there in the world, excuse my poor language, that is gooder than what God gives you. I don't care what. The Lord is good. His way is perfect. And while you may sit there and say, I don't know if I want to do all that. I don't know if I want to go down that path. I said this to the kids in my Bible class the other day. And there's zero pride in the statement because I'm going to preface it with everything and everyone knowing this. It is all because of God's mercy, God's faithfulness. It is all because of God. I deserve nothing here. But I challenge the kids, and I'll challenge you again today. What is it about my life that you would sit there and say, I want no part of that? And I'm not talking about my stunning good looks and the cold that I get every once in a while or the tooth that has to be removed. That's living in a sin-cursed world. Even your eyes that go crossed. But even in these hardest of times, to have a family that will stand by you and a wife that will love you and a church that will encourage you, and a God that is always there, and a sweet fellowship with the Lord, and the peace laying my head down on my pillow every night, and a confidence in knowing that God is right there, and I've got heaven to look forward to, and friends and family. I'm not worried about hiding things. I'm not worried about trying to, you know, pull the wool over someone's eyes. I'm not worried about a policeman looking for me. You can walk through my house and look through whatever you want to. I live in a nice home, nothing fancy, 1,250 square feet, counting a garage. But it's perfect. I got a dog that adores me. It's Alex's, but he adores me. I got a family that loves me. I got clothes to pick from. I drive a car that gets me everywhere I need to go. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm a party to be around. Now, sincerely, what would you not want? You want? Wondering where your future spouse is at night and why they're not home? You want whether you can trust anybody around you? You want the nights laying with your head in your pillow crying yourself to sleep every night? You want a life where you have to keep things hidden because you're afraid you'll get caught? Not knowing if eternity is true, if you're going to go to a place called hell? I'm just being real with you today. I don't deserve any of it. But that's what God does for you. That's what God does for you. He's good to us. His goodness is overwhelming. We ought to be thankful for the Lord is good unto them that wait for him and the soul that seeks him. See the scripture? You say, well, I don't see the goodness of God in my life because you're not waiting on him. Because you're not seeking him. Verse number 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I ought to be thankful today because I can sit here today and have that confidence, that hope, and I can quietly wait knowing that someday he's coming back for me. And God's going to take me out of this sin-cursed world. There'll be no more tears and no more sorrows and no more separations and no more hurts and no more pains and no more medicines and no more shots, no more cancer, no more funerals, no more all these things. We'll be with God forever. What a blessed thought. Back in our text, and I close it. The Lord is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Can I tell you this morning, if you're lost today, he's kind to you. If you're lost today and you may sit there and you may be against God, you may be anti-God, you may be anti-Scripture. I don't think anyone in this auditorium would be that way, but you may be saying, I don't want any of it, take it. I don't want nothing to do with this. Someone may listen to this message today or down the road and they may be struggling and this may ring a bell to them. I don't want it. I've heard people say with my ears, I hate God. Yeah. I have seen people stand up in church, point at the preacher, my grandpa, and say, keep it, and walk out the back door. I've seen people say, slam the door as they curse and say, I want nothing to do with it. I have seen people use their God-formed tongue and curse a great God. Yes. And God looks at them and you, everybody look at me, and he is kind to them.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Boy, it's a good thing I'm not God. We'd all be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you're not God. But God is kind to them. And you may be all those things, God forbid, that I just described, but everybody, you look at me. God is being kind to you. He's being so kind to you. Say, how has he been kind to me? Well, look at me. Because he loves you. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners. God showed his love to us when we were at enmity with him. When we were enemies of God, he loved us. When we were, say, I want nothing to do with him, he loves us. Isn't it great, the love of God? He is kind to the evil in that he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To the evil today, he loves you. Secondly, to the evil today, I would say this. He has lent to you, or he's giving you. And that's what our whole text is about. And Jesus is making a point. And the point was simply this. In Travis Burke's little commentary, if Sam needed $10 for lunch today and came to me, I'd give him $10. Because he's my friend. I love him. He's my brother in Christ. I would have no problem doing that. And I wouldn't expect anything back. But I know Sam. He'd probably come back tonight and say, here's that $10 you gave me. But I don't care. I wouldn't expect it. But there's a big difference between me doing that and me driving downtown today and seeing some guy standing on a corner and giving him $10.
Right.
Who I know I'll never get it back from.
Right.
And I don't know the guy. And who knows what he's going to do with it. But when God looked at me, I was that guy standing on the corner. But God gave to me, and he gave to you. He gave you his Son. Boy, we ought to be thankful today. I love every one of you without hesitation. And I love James and Abigail back there. Hi, Abigail, by the way. I love them. But if it came Alex or them, I choose Alex. And it sounds harsh. But if it was Buchanan or pastor, they'd choose Buchanan.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
It's their son.
Right.
It's their child. But when God looked at us, we weren't sitting here with our suit and tie on. We're standing on the corner. The world, complete control. Sin damning our soul. And we not caring about him. But God said, I'm going to give you my Son. Praise God for that. He was kind to the evil. And that he lent to us his Son. He lent to us the Lord's sorrow and suffering and all that he went through. You know this. I'm done. But God didn't just send his Son here to walk around.
Right.
What he went through for our salvation.
Yeah.
And look at me. He didn't do it for me in my nice suit with my King James Bible under my arm. He did it for me when I was a lost, rotten sinner.
Right.
That's the Travis Burke that Jesus suffered for.
Right.
So that I can be made what he's made me today. And it's all glory to him. Anything good you see in my life is all because of God.
That's right.
But God is kind to the evil in that he loved us and he lent to us. But give me two more points. He's kind to the evil that he lives for them. So what do you mean he lives for them? He didn't stay dead in the grave, amen?
Right.
He arose, and why is he... Listen, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. To the lost today, the Lord lives. That's good news. That means you can have part of that eternal life. But he lives to make intercession for you. You know what that means? That means this, that I don't remember exactly Brother Larry Wilson's testimony, but I know he got saved a few years down the road. But even when he didn't know God, and even when he didn't understand, God loved him. God sent his son for him. And everything Jesus went through on the cross, he did it for him. And even before Brother Larry knew the Lord knew Brother Larry. And was interceding on his behalf. And the Holy Spirit brought conviction in his life, and the Lord worked and arranged so he'd hear the truth, and praise the Lord, he got saved. We stopped, and one of the things that was made in our family thankful for my parents is, my wife talked about it, is the difference that, praise the Lord, when her dad got saved, how it changed the family tree. Praise the Lord that he lives to make intercession for us. Turning your Bibles, last verse, and we'll close in prayer. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Romans 2 and verse number 4. Read the verse and we'll pray. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I read this verse to close in prayer today to remind us, whether you're just like me and say, boy, I've been unthankful and I just want to pause and thank you, God, for all these things. Or whether you're lost today and don't know the Lord, listen to the scriptures. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know why he's so kind to us who are saved and so unthankful at times? So that we can see it today and say, God, I just want to say I love you and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion and your faithfulness and my portion. Thank you, God, for your goodness. You know why he's so kind to you that maybe even are against God today? Because it is his heart's desire that his goodness to you will lead you to repentance. And that you'll see today that maybe you say, I've heard people say this. I've dealt with young people all my life since I've been in a ministry. Well, I'm not living the way that Word of God says, and the sky hadn't fallen on my head yet. It's because the Lord's good. And he's long-suffering. There's so much forbearance. In other words, he's patient. Because he is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. And may the goodness of God today point you to repentance.